The Jays are probably in the air. They're on their way to Kansas City. They'll take on the Royals for four starting tomorrow night. They took 2 of 3 against the Yankees today. Bo Bichette walking off with an opposite field home run, the second of the game for Bo. He's coming alive. He's feeling good. And to chat about it, we're joined now by our TSN 1050 MLB and Blue Jay analyst, Steve Phillips. Bo said after the game, Steve, he feels like he's coming on. I would say that that's probably an accurate statement right now.
Oh, no question about that. I think he's getting locked in right now. Got the batting average up to .327, the power production there. And for good young hitters, when they're driving the ball opposite field, it means that they're not spinning off the ball, that their timing's right. They're letting the pitch travel deep in the zone. They've got their pitch recognition working. And so he's got it all going on right now. I mean, 3 hits in the game, 2 home runs, the walk-off win, and coming through in the clutch. You know, all of the things that he has led us to believe that he will be for the Blue Jays, he was in this series, and it looked like it's starting to come on right now. And here's the thing. Like, he's swinging the bat, Vlad Jr. is swinging the bat, but, you know, Semien's been... he's been a solid player. He's come up with some big hits, but he's not quite as good as he's going to be. Biggio's not where he's going to be. Gurriel's not where he's going to be. And so there's still room for improvement offensively for this team. You know, Kirk looks like, you know, got the home run today, and maybe he's starting to come around. And so there's room to grow offensively for this team, and they're going to need it with their pitching staff.
Yeah, the offense is always going to get there. It will get there. It's just a matter of time. But, you know, a big part of what was supposed to lead the spark was George Springer, and Charlie Montoyo said today, effectively, we're not holding our breath anytime soon. Like, he's not even on the trip. They're about to go on a 10-day trip, I believe, Kansas City through Boston through Tampa. He's not going to be a part of it. So how do you read between the lines in terms of what's going on with Springer and the likelihood of him, you know, returning to form and getting back with the team anytime soon?
So I'm not surprised he's not leaving with the team on the trip because – you know, he's going to stay behind where he can get at bats once he's ready to do that. Now, you know, he took batting practice for the first time, but, you know, we're really going back to starting spring training almost over for him, you know, where he's missed so many weeks. I mean, it'll be ultimately 3 weeks or so before he's had it at bat. And so I think that he's taken a step back. He'll stay in the alternate camp. They'll get him 20 at bats a day there. And try to, when he's ready to go, and try to, you know, and again, now they got to be careful not to overdo it where he's running the bases and overexerting himself to where he's going to strain something else. But I, you know, it makes sense to me. You leave him behind. He doesn't start with the team. You start to get him in shape and get the leg healthy, get the bat swing ready, and then have him join whenever that may be. And it may not be at all for this road trip. They've got to make sure that it's healthy because, an example, you look at the quad injury, Lorenzo Cain of the Milwaukee Brewers had a quad injury that he limped into the season with, and now they've just put him on the injured list now because it lingered, it didn't go away, and he now may have a setback where it's going to take more time to come back.
Hey, Steve. You know, obviously you see Vladdy doing some really tantalizing things. You know, Hayes was pointing out that Bo Bichette is now tied with Joe DiMaggio for the most extra base hits through his first 87 games of a major league career, which makes you think, man, this kid could be something. Is it too early to start talking about both of these guys in the conversation around a long-term deal, the kind that we saw, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. sign, 14-year, $330 million, Acuna sign with Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves for a similar number? When do we get around to talking about that with the Blue Jays?
Well, I think we're there. And, you know, those could have started. And quite honestly, you might have gotten a better deal if you had done it yesterday instead of tomorrow. After, you know, I mean, like, these two guys are only going to keep getting better, which in their mind means the number's going to go up. Now, you know, any expectation that deals will match what the Braves did with Acuna and Albies, I think they're going to want more than those. Those guys were in different circumstances. Not son of big leaguers, and so they wanted that big payday. These guys aren't really wanting for anything. They know they're going to be around for a while, but it still makes sense, and I think it makes sense for them, and it makes sense for the organization. So I would jump into it, and understand that what you want the deal to be and what the deal's going to be are not going to be the same. It's going to be more than what you want to do, but it's also going to save you money in the long run. You just don't know it yet. And so I think that the teams, these are guys that you're willing to take a chance on, because what you do know is at their worst, they're going to be productive, solid major league players. At their best, they're perennial all-stars. Find a number in between where you can make a deal and get on with it.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, you mentioned how with the bats coming alive, they're going to need it because of what's going on with the arms right now. Rio has made three starts. He's looked outstanding. Actually, Mats has looked very good through two starts. He'll start maybe tomorrow night, probably not, likely on Friday in Kansas City. But you've got Ross Stripling, who is now on the IL. Julian Merriweather has spent his career on the IL. He's back on it now. You still have Pearson on there. You still got Hatch on there. Kirby Yates never got to the season because he had Tommy John. So it was thin to begin with in terms of talent, in terms of upside, and they're really running into it. So how do you see this playing out? You know, we talked about it before the season started. Do Atkins and Shapiro potentially get proactive here and look in the trade market, whatever it might be, to try to make something happen, maybe push someone's timeline a little bit further ahead than they wanted it to be because you're in win-now mode? What do they do considering all the injury problems? And inevitably, they're going to run into some issues here based on their arms.
Yeah, so I think they're going to slow play it a little bit. I do. If anybody's available before Memorial Day, it's somebody who's not performing well that a team wants to move. Because otherwise, they're going to hold them. They know that if they're pitching well, there's always going to be a market for that guy at some point. And so why not win some games, sell some tickets for your own fans before you start to trade them? So anybody that's available before Memorial Day is somebody who's underperforming that you think you're going to fix. I had a chance to interview Steven Matz this morning. He really talked. I mean, he raved about the Blue Jays organization. He's only known the Mets. And so we talked a lot about how the change of scenery and what it has meant for him. And, you know, what ends up happening is that every interaction, every good start, every bad start, you know, he's a guy that had a lot of peaks and valleys with the Mets where he looked great on days and then he looked like he couldn't get anybody out. And what happens was when he was pitching well, as time went on, when something went wrong, everybody assumed it was beginning of the end again. Should we take him out of the rotation? And so he got a completely fresh new slate with no labels, no baggage, and he is relishing that. And analytically, he feels he's got a lot more information out of Toronto than he did with the Mets. So it's really telling. I think that he's figuring it out. That's a good thing. Robbie Ray, I thought, looked pretty good his first time out. I thought that, you know, not a bad outing for him. He threw some strikes, which I was happy with. And he wasn't looking like he was trying to max out the velocity of his fastball, and that location mattered more to him. And then Pearson coming back is going to be critical. So I think they're going to slow play it. What they have proven, the Jays, is that they've got a really good bullpen. And a lot of names that the rest of the world may not know, but they're very capable guys. And so I think they're going to just, you know, get into the season a little bit. There's no reason to panic now. You know, listen, the Red Sox lost three in a row and looked like they were never going to win a game for the first series and losing to Baltimore. They won eight games in a row right now.
Right.
I mean, they're playing, you know, but I don't believe in them. Everybody else is, you know, 4-5, 5-5. And so, you know, I think they're going to get into it. The good signs are Ryu looks really good. Mats looks really good. Ray looks like not a bad first outing for him. The bullpen's solid. The offense starting to come around. So I see more good than bad. And they're going to have to keep an eye on the pitching. And if somebody does become available, there'll be players on them. But I don't think they should force their hand right now. And they should really sort of get into the season and see where they're going.
With Steve Phillips. So there was a play in the first inning earlier this afternoon. Bichette slid into first. It was somewhat of a judgment call. And the review process was outrageous. I mean, I've had this conversation with you before, Steve. I hate review in any sport. It bothers me. I find that it wastes too much time, and then generally it comes back. It's a judgment call anyway, and they still get it wrong half the time based on subjectivity. So what are we wasting our time for? We're just trying to appease the fact that we care more, but it ultimately doesn't even get the job done that it's supposed to. But today was egregious in nature. There was a miscommunication between the ump and Boone, and he made sure that Aaron Boone got what he wanted and kept going back to the dugout. Do you want to review it? Do you not want to review it? It's ridiculous. It's got to stop. I'm not saying they're going to throw out review because I don't like it, but this idea that you sit there as, you know, just a pawn waiting for the manager to discuss with his people what he wants to do, that's so easy to change. And I don't see why baseball doesn't. Like, they got to put a clock on this. What do you make of it?
Well, so there is a clock on the manager to make a decision, and he's got to decide within 30 seconds that whether he wants to review or not. And then, you know, the average time for a review this year so far is a minute and 24 seconds. Now, we've had a few longer ones, the one in Atlanta, obviously, which was a debacle, where everybody in the world except the guy in the studio in New York, you know, thought that Bohm didn't touch the plate in that game. So I'm a big fan and proponent of replay, and here's why: because as a general manager, I know what it takes to put a team together and how much work it is, and what I want the ultimate result to be. And I don't care about how much time it takes or anything else. I want the result of what actually happened on the field to be the result for the outcome of my team. And even if it means that a review takes a win away from me, I'm more than willing to live with that. But I can't stomach the notion that I'm going to lose a game that was based upon human error where we could have reviewed it. Now, I think there are some tweaks that need to be done with the system. I think that having people who are just that aren't umpires in reviewing it is important, because I think there is some element where, let's put it this way, I don't know if there's a conflict of interest where umpires don't want to call out other umpires for mistakes, but I want to remove that consideration at all. I don't want there to be that notion. And ideally, it would be great if the review was – the review made the ultimate call, not caring what call was made on the field. This notion of, you know, we can't confirm it, but it's upheld. And even if the umpire says, well, I think he's probably safe. I know the umpire called him out, but there's not enough evidence, but I think he's safe, but I can't change it. No, I want the guy who has five different camera angles in slow motion to make the ultimate decision over the guy on the field, who I think is, you know, bang, bang, play. You're not going to get them right. There's no shame in that. I want the call right. And they've got to add other elements to review. The hit by pitch by Conforto should have been reviewable, you know, that it was a strike. I mean, yes, if the hit by pitch can be reviewed, we all knew he got hit by the pitch, but it was a strike. And it was a rule violation in that one. So I don't know. I think we have to have it. And I cringe every time there's a mistake, because those that hate it, it's fodder for them, right, to go down that road. And I just hope we never get rid of it, because I want to win the games I'm supposed to win, even if I lose the games I'm supposed to lose.
Well, there's a few things that I would respond with. One, the sport was around for about 120 years and did pretty well before it. So I don't think we need to
Yeah, but think about how many mistakes were made.
But it was still a great sport. It was thoroughly entertaining. Yeah. Like, I'm not surprised you have that viewpoint, because you just said,
right,
as a GM,
right,
we call them fans. What they are is they're customers. This is a business. It's not about the GM making sure he gets what he wants. It's about the fan watching and
so
liking the sport.
If you're a fan of the Blue Jays, how do you feel about the Bichette call? How would you feel that a call that's a bang-bang play, and the guy's called out, and the video shows that he's safe, and it costs you the game to go to the playoffs? As a fan, you're going to be okay with that?
Well,
no.
Steve, game 12 in the first inning, I don't think is what was going to cause them to make or break the playoffs. That's another straw man, just as much as the one you just applied.
If you lose one game because of the not getting the call right, and you don't get to the playoffs by one game, that 12th game of the season is the decide. They're all
Guess
equal.
What, though, Steve? There's probably a good chance it went my way some other time because of this exact system. So you're right. Maybe that one time where if we reviewed it, I should have got it my way. 10 games from now, I'll get it when I shouldn't have. Like, it's all good. It generally just balances out.
And
that's the way it usually plays out.
Everybody says it. I never experienced it that way. Do you know that we've had each year we have somewhere between 650 and 700 calls overturned in a season. Think about the history of baseball where we glorify the past, but what actually happened on the field and how did it play out? Now, maybe we don't care, but the reality is 700 mistakes made every year by umpires on calls. Those are the ones that are overturned, and they probably still get some wrong that should have been overturned. And to me, that changes the whole outcome of seasons, and it's worth the extra time. Again, even from a fan's perspective, I don't want my team to lose because of human error.
I think you're probably expecting fans to have the same passion as the GM, as the manager. And the fact is, some of them are. I don't know what the percentage is, the diehards that are there for every pitch, every inning. A lot of them are like, I don't have 3.5 hours, 4 hours, what have you. But the point I'm trying to make, I guess, is that half the time, even with the review, they still get it wrong. It's still subjective. It's still the other team's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But with that being the case, I'm assuming then, are you a proponent of robotic umpires? Have you been pushing
for it? Absolutely. 100%. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. The number of pitches that get missed, that 1-1 pitch, that if my team's at the plate, that 1-1 pitch that's out of the zone that an umpire calls a strike can completely turn a game around. That 3-1 pitch that an umpire calls a strike with the bases loaded, it should have been ball four, it changes the outcome of games. I want what actually happens on the field to be the notion that, oh, the beauty of the game is human error. No! It's what's wrong about the game is that we get it wrong and that the result on the field isn't often always the result and the outcome of the game. So I'm 100% in there for automated umpires. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I think that's going to happen someday. I am not. This will not shock you, Steve, but I'm not. I like the character of the game. I like, as a fan, again, I like the fact that I can yell at an ump. Imagine going to a game and you're yelling at an iPad. But it takes away such a massive element of the experience, and I think that's what gets lost here. And this is the thing about the sport, all analytically driven, all the science, all perfection, and it's like, where's the humanity in that? Where's the fun? Where's the character? I think that's being lost.
I think the beauty of the game is in the talent of the players, not in the errors of the umpires.
It's a part of it. Well, the umps get it right, too. I mean, let's not pretend like
they have a really tough job. They do a great job. But when it comes to balls and strikes, during the course of a game, it can completely pivot the game with a bad call by an umpire and a ball and a strike.
Absolutely. And it's great fodder for a guy like me. Because at 4 o'clock, I'm steaming, Steve, and I will miss that if it's a robotic umpire. That's all that ultimately matters in the end. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
Get off my lawn, kid.
I know. We'll believe me. We'll get into this more often as we go forward. I'm sure of it. Thank you, Steve. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure, as always, guys.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays analyst. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sure you want to respond to that.
Well, no, it's a great debate, and I'm sort of falling in somewhere in the middle. I'm actually for robo umpires, but I think you'll be steaming when the guys on Team Corsi miscalibrate the robot, right? That's
right,
it'll
exactly.
Just be somebody else to yell at, right?
Yeah.
It won't be the guy in the chest protector that you're yelling at. It's the guys in the pocket protectors.
Listen, I understand it's not perfect. Of course it's not. There's a lot of umpires that are terrible at times, and their strike zones are constantly moving around. They'll move from pitch to pitch. Forget game to game or inning to inning. But for me, I'm about the experience. I'm not in it to win it based on my paycheck. You know, like, I get it from Steve's standpoint. He's not alone. I'll bet you every GM thinks the exact same. Like, you live at it from that standpoint. I want it perfect. I don't care if it's a six-hour game. This is my game. This is my livelihood. I look at it as what is the most fun, what's the most entertaining, the characters that come with it, the interactions that come with it, the water cooler material. Can you believe that call? Can you believe that? Imagine taking that out. Like, I think that's a bridge too far, and I think we'd regret it. I really do. I think even people, a lot of people that push for robotic umps will get a year or two into it and say, pretty stale game.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a stale game. I think it's a stale game for a lot of the reasons you laid out, the analytical movement, the three true outcomes, everybody just trying to get a home run or they're striking out and too few balls in play and not enough strategy anymore. Nobody's hitting and running or stealing or bunting. It's all just about, the big bomb. And, that's the problem, I think. And The other problem is the games are too long, and that's why I'm on your side on the replay. Like, I don't like this a minute 23, you know, overturning calls. That's too long.
Gotta go
quick. It doesn't need to be that long. It's gotta go.
Gotta go quick, especially first inning today. Like, come on. First inning, yeah. Let's go.